Well, I am excited to be here this morning. I'll put it there. I'm excited to be here this morning and draw us into the story of Christmas and draw us into what it means for us today and what it meant at the time, and for us to ponder what God was up to on the very first Christmas. Now, as I was thinking about today, we had the story of Gabriel, the angel, and we had the story of one of the shepherds or a shepherdess, and I think that's one of the most well-known stories when we come to the Christmas story. We have a lot of songs around Christmas built around the characters of the angels and the shepherds, a lot of stories. We don't have very many songs about all of the characters in the Christmas story. I'm waiting for some more songs about Joseph. There's not a lot of songs about Joseph. There's very few songs about Quirinius, the governor at the time. But we have a lot about the shepherds and the angels. And so I want us to come into that story and maybe see it with fresh eyes this morning. But one of the things I think about in that story is I think about the news. And how God shared the news that was happening at that time. And I'm a news junkie. I love, and probably too much, love the news. And so I wonder how we get our news today. Different people, young people get their news differently than people my age or people older than me. We all come to getting our news in different ways today. And it's such a strange thing how it's changed. It's not like the old 1940s or 1950s radio shows or TV shows where you've got the guy on the street corner, the paper boy out there yelling, "Get your news, get your news, get your," and he's selling the newspaper at the corner. And it's not like the days where Walter Cronkite would tell us the news every evening, and we could trust, we could come to one guy and trust him to be giving us the news. We all come to get our news in different ways. And maybe we don't even all hear the news because we all watch different things or listen to different things to get our news, whether it's the radio or the cable news. And depending which cable channel you watch, you might get a different bent on the news. Or if it's word of mouth or if it's social media. I love getting my news on social media, Twitter or sometimes Facebook. Different things are shared. But the problem with that is you can only read the news depending on who you want to get the news from. And so you might get one perspective or only one part of the news. So I also enjoy getting the news from the BBC to get a more global set of news or so on. But it's interesting. Some things just never rise to the level that everybody hears about it. The news is such an interesting thing today. But how did the news spread way back in the time when Jesus was born? They didn't have smartphones to be getting a notification on their phone. I don't know if everybody was getting this a few weeks ago when our government sent out a test alert. Everybody got a text message on their phone just in case they needed to know something. They didn't have phones back in the time of Jesus to let everybody know something happened. That's how I sometimes get news. There's every now and then I'll turn off the news. And I won't know it until somebody texts me a message and says, "Did you hear this story, such and such?" And then I all of a sudden have to get back on the news and find out what's going on. But they didn't have that. So God interrupted their life to share the good news. It wasn't just waiting until the next morning when the newspaper was delivered. It wasn't waiting until you checked online to see what was going on in the news. But God interrupted everybody to share the news. But I find it so fascinating how he did it. We sang about it this morning in the first Noel. On that first Noel, the first Christmas, the angels did say to those poor shepherds in fields where they lay. It's interesting that God chose poor shepherds. And the story unfolds in Luke chapter 2. And we're looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 until 20, if you want to read along. I'm going to paraphrase. But it is interesting that God chose poor shepherds to be the one that he brought the news to. When elections happen, it's so interesting. There's polls that go all over the place. Who wants this person? But it's often we love to hear what celebrities say, what famous singer, who they're going to vote for, or what actor or actress, what they're going to vote for, as if that really should affect how I'm going to think. But we always want to know what celebrities say, or what does the newspaper say? The Chicago Tribune endorses such and such candidate, or the Daily Herald endorses such and such candidate. Driving through town, we see the signs around, and it's like, I thought the news is just supposed to tell us the news. Why are they endorsing people? But that's how it's been for a long time. And so we have all these things of wanting to know who's going to say this. We want influential people to tell us who it is. But who did God choose to share the good news with? God chose ordinary, regular, blue-collar people. And so as the story unfolds, it says, in that region, there were shepherds keeping watch over the sheep. And so I don't know if I always picture them like the song said, laying in the field, but that's probably what it was like in the middle of the night. They were laying there, maybe sleeping, maybe not, trying to sleep. I don't know how well you sleep when you're laying in the field with sheep all around, worrying if the wolves are going to come or bears or lions. Shepherds today don't have to worry about lions, but we know from David's story that he fought lions when he was taking care of the sheep. And so what were the shepherds doing? They were probably laying out there. I always pictured it, and I think I'm wrong, but I always pictured it. They were just sitting around, you know, like you do with your friends, sitting around, maybe like guys would in the garage, sitting around playing games, rolling the dice or casting lots, so to speak, or whatever they would do. I had just had this picture that they were just hanging out all night long. But they were probably not. They were probably sleeping and just hanging out ready in case something dangerous happened. And all of a sudden, breaking into the night was an angel. And it says, and the glory of God shone all around them. It's probably why God came into the fields, because if God came into the city, that everybody would start freaking out. The army would be called. What's going on? This is crazy. Is it aliens? What's happening? But it was out in the fields where the shepherds would see it. And I wonder if when they start seeing it, one shepherd turns to another one and says, Matthias, what did you put in our pizza? What is this for real? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? What did I eat? What's going on here? This seems very strange. This isn't a normal night. And they start turning to each other and realize they're all seeing the same thing. It's not one of them having a strange vision or a strange dream, but they're all seeing the same thing. And when they realize that this is real, all of a sudden they go from bewilderment to fear. They are scared, and who knows how they're hiding their face or trying to hide on the ground what they're doing. These are the shepherds who are out there to protect the sheep, and now they are the ones afraid. And the angel says what the angel always says when he meets somebody, do not be afraid. This is how you'll know you've met an angel. You'll be afraid. We all want to meet an angel, maybe, but if we did, we would not be so happy at the moment. Because every time somebody meets an angel in the Bible, they are afraid. And the angel always has to tell them, do not be afraid. We don't know which angel this was. We don't know if it was Gabriel or another angel or what messenger it was. But we know this was an angel that came to give a message to the shepherds. We sing about the angel. Hark, the herald angel sings. And I love that word, herald. It's a word that's used in the New Testament to talk about the one who proclaims the good news of God. Paul talks about it, about himself, that he says, I am a herald of the good news. It's a term that's used throughout the New Testament at different times to say, this is the one who brings the good news. But it's not just a New Testament term. It's a term that goes back to Isaiah. Isaiah 40, in the beginning of a section on the suffering servant, beginning to tell the story that Jesus is coming, that the Messiah is going to come. Isaiah talks about Jerusalem, go up onto the mountain. Or it says, O Zion, go up onto the mountain, you herald of good news. This is Isaiah 40, verse 9. And then it says, Jerusalem, shout out loud, you herald of good news. And I love that herald is connected to good news. The herald is the one who we think of on the street corner, the newspaper boy, heralding to come and get the newspaper, come and get the news. But usually our news today isn't always the good news. The good news isn't what sells. Telling a story about somebody giving a lot of money to help the poor, that doesn't sell newspapers. It's the tragedy. It's the disaster. It's the catastrophe. That's what the newspaper boy is selling. That's what gets us to click on our computer to open the story. But here in the Bible, the term herald is always connected with good news. And good news or the gospel, it's like the story that the ambassador or the one is sent from the king to run and share what's happened in the war, to tell that the war is won, or maybe a wedding announcement. Good news. This person is marrying this person. And they would send somebody through the town, a herald, to tell the good news of somebody that's getting married. Or good news of a baby announcement. Oh, we love it. Even in America, where we are not subjects of the queen. But when the princess and prince are announcing a baby, we all turn onto the TV. Oh, there's going to be a baby. I wonder what they're going to name it. And this is the kind of good news we think of when we think of a herald. And this is the picture that Luke is drawing in this story, that the angel is here to herald good news. God breaks forth with a heavenly being to break into our world to share the good news. Something extraordinary is happening, and the angel comes to the ordinary people, poor shepherds laying in the field, to say, behold. And I love that. They often say this before the good news. Behold. I have good news of great joy for all the people. I think we should underline that or circle that in our Bibles, highlight it, whatever you do, write in your margins. This is for all the people. Now think, if you're going to tell the story that's for all the people, are you going to start with the shepherds, or would you start with the politicians or the businessmen or the newsmakers? This is great news for all the people. But it is the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, that Jesus came to live as God and man, fully God and fully man, that this story of what he was going to do and eventually give his life for us on the cross, that we would have our sins forgiven and that he would raise again from the dead to vindicate us from death, to give us new life. This is the good news. That's for all the people. This is a story that God has intended from the beginning to go into all the world, that everyone everywhere would hear this story. But he began by telling it to shepherds out in the fields. And then all of a sudden, a multitude of angels appeared. So if they weren't a little bit afraid anymore, all of a sudden, they see a multitude of angels show up. Imagine seeing a heavenly host. And we think of these things in today's world. Our image of angels is from the cartoons and is so, it's very much sanitized. But this isn't a heavenly host like a choir in choir robes. This is God's army. The army of God that fights on our behalf against the demons. This is an army appearing. They would be in shock and awe. And they sing, glory to God in the highest, and to peace to men on earth, men and women. But this is what's happening. Imagine you're there, a shepherd. Your life is probably the most mundane life that you could have. Every day, it's the same. You wake up and you take care of the sheep. You go to bed, you lay in the fields with the sheep. And the next day, it's the same thing. It's got to be not that different from Groundhog's Day, where the same day repeats over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, you are met by angels from heaven. And I'm sure for the rest of their days, they wondered, I wonder why God chose us. Why this field? Why not You know, why not the field down the way? There's much better sheep over there, or the owners of those sheep are much more important. Why did God choose us? How often do we think that in our own life? Why did God choose me? Why did God call me to this assignment? Why did God put this on me? And it wasn't just for me. God didn't just choose me for me, although that's part of it, that God chose me to be in his part of his kingdom, to be with him because he loved me. But it doesn't end there. It never ends with me. It never ends with me. But it begins with me. That God chose the shepherds that they would let others know. That the heralds from heaven came and they released these men to be heralds on earth. So the extraordinary came to meet the ordinary. The extraordinary came to tell an extraordinary story to ordinary men. And then ordinary men were released to tell an extraordinary story to others. And the men, they after this happened, the angels left, they turned to each other, probably checking to make sure they really all saw what they saw, that this wasn't a dream, that they experienced it. And then they said to one another, let us go see this thing that we heard about. That they heard that there would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior. And the sign would be that you would find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. This is incredible. And they say, let's go see this thing that we heard about. And then it says, they went in haste. I love that word. When I first started looking at this passage for this Sunday a few weeks ago, that word haste jumped out at me. The shepherds didn't stop and say, hey, wait, let's grab our ugly Christmas sweater for the first Christmas party. Or they didn't turn to each other and say, I've got my old stinky tunic on. I've been out in the field for days. I haven't had a time to bath in a long time. I'm going to go meet the King of Kings, and I'm going to smell to high heaven. They didn't stop to get cleaned up. They didn't stop to get their hair done. They didn't stop for anything, but they went in haste to see this thing that they heard about. How often do we hear God say something to us? And we say, okay, I'll do that if all this stuff comes into line. Or I'll do that if you also let my wife know. Or if you also provide the money for me. God, I'll do whatever you call me to as long as you make a way for me. And we put all these requirements on what God says. But the shepherds saw the angels, and they heard that God was sending a Savior to be born, to be the King of Kings. And they said, let's go see this right now. They dropped everything, left the shepherds in the field. Their jobs were on the line. If something happened to the sheep, they would have been without a job. Everything was on the line, and they went to see what they heard about. And they got there. And now here's the thing. They didn't, like I said earlier, they didn't have a smartphone, so they couldn't GPS the baby born in a manger. Where is the manger the baby was born in? Google couldn't lead them there. So what do you think they did? They went running through the town asking, where is the baby that's born in the manger? This is how news is spread. They went door to door, probably, knocking on every door they could. And we read about this in Luke. In chapter 11, Jesus talks about if somebody comes to your door in the middle of the night knocking, you would give them something to eat. So it's not uncommon that you'd be woken up in the middle of the night, somebody knocking on your door, and they're knocking on the door asking, where's the family that had a baby in the manger? But think about that. If somebody's coming to you in the middle of the night, how shocking that would be. Who's having a baby in the manger? It's crazy. And two, the town is overrun with people. The people are here from all over the place for the census. And so there's lots of confusion. And they're hearing this story from shepherds that they saw angels. And angels told them about a baby. Great news. A baby's being born. This is God's son. And they go door to door until they finally hear where somebody said, yeah, you know what? I did have a man and his wife pregnant, and I gave them my stable. And all of a sudden, he's thinking, and they had the baby there. Okay, all right. So who knows how many people are there, but they came and they found Joseph and Mary and the baby just as they heard about it. Think about that. They're seeing this amazing thing. Last week, we heard from Pastor George about some of the memories he's had when he goes to fancy hotels, when occasionally he's had the opportunity to be in a luxury hotel. I've had a few occasions myself to be in a really nice hotel, and those times stick out. I mean, if we'd gone to see Jesus born somewhere, we would expect him to be born in a castle, in somewhere beautiful, filled with gold and everything beautiful, purple, so on. And if it was today, it'd be in one of those $40 or $50 million homes. Way more luxurious than the White House. Something amazing, whether it's Oprah's home in Southern California or whosever home that's just beyond belief. And that's not what they saw. They saw Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. God took on such vulnerability to let the glory of God be seen. He was born in a manger to poor Mary and Joseph. Here, I am going to give my son to this family who scrapes by week just to survive in their own house. And they're going to take care of my son. He's not going to be given the best shoes or the best new clothes for school every year. He's not going to be given the best of the best. God made himself vulnerable and weak that we would see the glory of God. This is what made it a story, that God was born in a manger. It wouldn't have been a story if God was born where we'd expect him. But it turns out to be an amazing story because he was born here. Now catch this part, though. It says, then they told what they had heard from the angels, and everybody who heard it wondered at what they said. Now, we often just picture that they come and knock on the door, and there's Joseph saying, my wife just had a baby. Can you please leave us alone? And we think that they're just there, the shepherds, and it's just Mary and Joseph. Who knows? Maybe others had gathered, maybe all the commotion in town, or maybe this is all who had heard. They knocked on all these doors trying to find them. All who had heard the story wondered at what they heard. When we see Jesus, when we experience Jesus in our life, the result should be that we tell people about it. The result of encountering God in our life or experiencing God work in our life is we share the story. Just as we did today in our testimonies, but as we go throughout our life, at our workplace, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, with our neighbors, we share the story of what God has done in our life. We have encountered God. We've all encountered God. And when we are reminded of the Christmas story, we are drawn to God, and we are also sent out by God. We are drawn to God to experience the greatest story ever, that God lets us be in his presence, that God made a way that we could be with him. But then we also go and tell it on the mountains. What a great song that we had the kids sing this morning to connect to the story of the shepherds and the angels, that we would be sent to tell it on the mountains, that we are all assigned by God, no matter who we are, that we are assigned by God to tell the story. God didn't go to the seminary where I go to school or any other famous seminary to say, hey, I'll tell those that are training for the ministry. Then they can know how to share the story. He went to the ordinary. We all have all that we need to share the story of God because we have God in our life. We have Jesus in our life. And we can take time to ponder and reflect on the story even today. Even if it's not a miracle that God's done in your life today or this week, we can reflect on the story of Christmas. And I want us to close with that in the last minute or so that we have, that we would have time to reflect on Jesus once again, that God would intersect this world, our world, to be born in a manger to be met by some of the first people was met by stinky shepherds, that his story would go to all people from there, begun by shepherds. These are the ones that God tapped on the shoulder to say, I want you to share my story. Let's reflect on that, that God is tapping each of you on the shoulder to share his story. This Christmas, and again in January, there's opportunities to let people know that we are exploring God, who he is. But God wants us to be the instrument. He didn't choose the best on purpose. He chose us, all of us, because we all have some kind of reason we could disqualify ourselves. But God qualifies us all because of his story. It's his story that shines out through our life. Let's reflect for a moment, and I'm going to pray, but let's just be quiet for a moment, and then I will pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, what an incredible story, the greatest story ever told, an invasion of joy that your angels couldn't hold back, but they had to break through the veil that goes between our world and the world beyond to share this great news of great joy. Lord, let your joy invade our life day by day. Let every day, let us be reminded of the great joy you have. But Lord, let us take time each day to pause and reflect on the story of God. Coming as a baby, living as a perfect man, dying on the cross, being raised again to give us new life. And you continue to meet us day by day. You carry us on the wings of eagles. Put it into our hearts, Lord. Such great joy that we can't help but share it. Lord, I wonder sometimes if we don't share the good news because it doesn't feel so good to us always. But Lord, give us such great joy in our hearts that we can't help but share the good news with our friends and neighbors and coworkers. Let it bubble out that we can't contain it. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.